Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Introducing your 2022-23 Philadelphia 76ers media from Crossing Broad and West Virginia University, Kevin Kincaid.
Ah, yes. Thank you very much to the great Matt Cord for that introduction. I appreciate that big time. And what can I tell you, people? We've been doing this podcast for 6 years, 7 years now. Never in a million years did I think that your town, your team, your Philadelphia Union would ever sniff MLS Cup, let alone qualify for MLS Cup and play for MLS Cup on the coming weekend as a number one seed on the road against LAFC. Somebody pinch me. I must be dreaming, right? Never in a million years. Never in a million years did I think that this was going to happen, but I'm thrilled that it is happening. It's all positive around here. And, you know, we felt that the most appropriate way to celebrate the Union going to MLS Cup was a reunion with the original founder of the podcast, my co-host, Dave Zeitland.
Let's go.
With a special guest. Why don't you introduce your special guest that you have with you, man?
I'm with, well, as you know, I covered this team for a long time, and they were never very good. And I stopped covering them around the time they started to get really good. And around that time, my son, my now a 9-year-old son, has become a big fan, and we like to go to games. And I've kind of completed my transition from covering this team to being a fan. So here he is, my good luck charm, my 9-year-old son, Mr. Noah Zeitland. Say hello.
Hi.
What's up, Noah? How are you? Are you a big Union fan? You're a huge Union fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what do you think? I mean, the team's great. Have you been going down to the games?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, did you guys go down on Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was definitely past my bedtime.
It was past your bedtime. Daddy kept you up after your bedtime. So what was it like? What was it fun? Was it loud? How was the crowd down there?
I mean, if you're like in the finals and they score, everyone's going crazy.
Yeah.
It's just you and your voice screaming.
Yeah. He likes to take his shirt off and celebrate and just like throw his shirt like a towel over his head. So,
Hey, do me a favor and push that laptop back just another couple inches because you sound actually better than I thought you would.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Gibby, so what was it like getting down there? I mean, I heard that it was an early arriving crowd that everybody was dialed in. I mean, I can't believe you and I went to so many games where it was, what, like half empty and nobody really cared about
you. Yeah, it's been interesting for me being in the stands. I mean, I get to see everybody around me. People were locked in. We were sitting in our seats, you know, 40 minutes before kickoff. Just everyone else seemed to be there, kind of locked in, just kind of waiting. The anticipation was kind of bubbling over. Yeah, it was just a very locked in crowd. I was next to a bunch of like kids on the other side, like 8 kids from a club in New Jersey, I think. And it was interesting. They knew so much about the team. They were talking to me during the game about, you know, about Jose Martinez always fouling, about Jack Elliott's play. So it's a very knowledgeable crowd, as I think we know. It's a great fan base. And yeah, I mean, incredible atmosphere, probably the best atmosphere I've seen in the stadium. The 3 goals were right in front of where we were sitting for the Union.
Yeah.
In the second half. The second goal, the go-ahead goal, I mean, that was my transformation into a fan, like, fully. Like, I was, like, on my feet, just, like, going nuts on that goal.
It feels good, though, doesn't it? Like, in a weird way, because you and I were always, you know, I mean, we were sitting in the press box. Like, you're not supposed to cheer in the press box. But,
yeah.
I mean, of course, we want the team to do well, and we want them to succeed. You know, I'm not going to, like, stand up and start clapping or whatever. But now it's cool to be removed from that because you can openly – I don't – listen, man, I'm sure you can relate to this. I don't – have like any emotion when I watch any games because it's all just work for me. I'm sitting there watching the Eagles, I'm typing.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching the World Series, I'm typing. You know, I'm sitting there watching the Flyers, I'm typing. You know, so it's like, but I got up off my couch a couple times during this game.
Oh, yeah.
And I must have been rusty because I didn't know how to celebrate. Some really awkward fist pumps and kind of like
yeah.
You know, yelping noises and things like that. But it's cool to be removed from that, right? And to look at it more as fans now, you know, versus like real media, you know. I mean, it looked like it was rocking down there. I don't. So, tell me what the stadium was like when New York scored first.
It was actually funny because we like didn't notice. There's a group of New York fans near us. We're kind of the opposite ends of the Sons of Ben, and like buried in that corner, there are some fans which we hadn't seen until that goal, and then they scored. They were going nuts, and there weren't that many fans like sprinkled throughout, like maybe one in our section or the section over. So it was definitely like 99% Union crowd at least. But that corner just was going nuts. And then, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking when Blake made the save. Like there were definitely cheers, but it wasn't as big cheers as I think he would have gotten on such a big save if it was like 0-0 still. Because we were all kind of nervous. Like we know, like the Union have lost so many games like that where they played well, they probably outplayed, but they lose 1-0. So there's kind of a nervous energy, but people like were definitely feeling like the goal was possible, I think. And then once they scored, to score two goals like that to take the lead, we were definitely cheering and definitely turning towards the New York fans right now. Mm-hmm. What do we say to the New York fans?
I can't remember.
What was the chant? Go back.
Oh yeah, go back to New York.
That's a good chant. That's a safe chant. That's an appropriate chant. I think I like that one. Yeah.
It works a little better with go back to Ohio and go back to New Jersey. To go back to New York is kind of
yeah. You need like an extra syllable in there to make it roll off the tongue or something. I mean, watching on TV, I mean, I got the sense that people were still dialed in. I mean, there was some nervy moments there, right? Especially when Andre made the big save. And, you know, I went on Twitter, I did the video breakdowns for a couple of those. And that was just kind of nervous. Corner kick comes in, them trying to hack the ball clear, trying to find a mark, trying to get back. And, you know, they got a little switched up there as New York kind of threw the ball back into the box. Then Andre had to bail him out. But yeah, it's funny, man, because I said this on the postgame show, the catalyst for the comeback was a huge goalkeeper save and then a defender getting the first assist, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, so apropos for what this team has been under Jim? Yeah. Like, a goalkeeper and a defender would start. Defender of the year, goalkeeper of the year. Really, they were the catalyst for the comeback.
And it was cool for me because, like, I still know a few of the players from when I covered them, and obviously one of them is Corey Burke, and him coming in really seemed to change the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he had the goal, but everything changed once he came in. I was really happy for Corey, obviously Andre Blake, and you know what's cool for Noah and me, we see Jim Curtin and Alejandro Bedoya almost every week because their sons play in the same club travel team as him.
Yeah.
So they're like, they're both really good soccer dads as well. So like we get to see that, which is a really cool thing for them to be so like embedded in the Philly soccer community. So
it is, man. I mean, it's we've been saying it from the beginning. Regular guy, it's easy to cheer for. So did you guys stay? What was the scene? Because on TV, right when you know they won the game, everybody rushes the field or whatever. Stu Holden comes up and he does the trophy presentation. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing too many like large, wider crowd shots. What was the vibe when they were doing the trophy celebration? Everybody seemed like everybody was hanging out and having a good time.
We're hanging out, and what happened? We got on the
Jumbotron.
Yeah, we got in the Jumbotron.
Yeah, yeah.
Noah held up his sign. Did you see a sign he made? I actually have it right here.
Oh yeah,
you can see it real quick.
Oh wow, this is very intricate. I'm going to describe it here. Okay, it says "Go Union, our blood runs gold." It's got a bunch of jerseys on there. Beat NYCFC. There's a snake. here, hang on. Just hold that up there. I'm going to take a screen grab of that. All right, good. There we go. Yeah, that is very, very nice. There's a soccer ball in there. What is that? Like electricity coming off the side? Oh, it says "Glessness Rocket." Yeah, on the soccer ball. There's an Andre Blake brick wall.
There you go. It's Ice in McGlynn's veins. You see that?
Ice in McGlynn's veins. I see that too. Yeah. Who do I see there? Mikael Orange jersey. Yeah. Revenge time. Yeah. Wow, that is very good. That's much better than any sign I've ever made. But so everybody was hanging out like nobody.
Yeah, so we were holding up signs. Yeah, it was cool being in the stadium because they would flash to the fans on the Jumbotron. So like we got up there, we were going nuts. And yeah, I mean, I honestly forgot there would be a trophy ceremony or it didn't even dawn on me until after they won. Just was like, we never thought we'd see the Union hoist the trophy inside the stadium. I guess we saw the other teams do it for the U.S. Open Cup, right?
Yeah. Well, in the end, those pictures that we took where we were standing up in the press box, you know, you saw Seattle on the podium and all the Union players lined up, like, you know, off to the side of them or whatever. Good, like, picture, like, you know, snapshot of what that game was. You know, I got to be honest, too, man. I don't – there was part of me for a minute there when New York scored. I was thinking, like, oh, man, is this not going to be their night? You know, is it going to be another – Mm-hmm. No, I think the analogy I use like four times on four different shows already was like Andy Reid and the Eagles like choking another NFC Championship game. You know, Joe Giravicius running down the field for a huge game, and the Panthers and the Cardinals and all that. I was like, man, they're not going to lose another big one at home, are they? But just the way they won, man, was poetic. You know, like I said, a goalkeeper and a defender, you know, being the catalyst for the comeback. And you know, for them to be resilient and come from behind and not choke it away like a typical Philadelphia sports team, you know, like to show that fight and grit and hustle and face some adversity and come back and triumph. You know, I mean, because you said it earlier, man, it was like, how many times did we watch Union teams in those kinds of spots play those kinds of games and lose those kinds of games and find, and they just could not find ways to win those types of games in the past. Yeah. So not only for them to come back and win, but to do it emphatically with two goals and then an insurance goal, you know?
And in the Open Cup finals we saw there, I mean, they probably played pretty well in both those games. Definitely the one against Seattle, that they just weren't quite good enough. But now you kind of felt they were the better team. It was just a matter of could they finish it off. So what do you think, though? Like when they fell behind 1-0, I wasn't even like with him at that time. He found like two other friends and went to sit with them. So Wait,
your son ditched you at the Eastern Conference Finals.
He ditched me the first NYC goal, and then the next two Union goals. He was with his two best friends, two sections over. Like, what do you think when they fell behind 1-0? Did you think they were going to blow it, or were you confident?
I mean, I was pretty confident, but my friends, we were doing this Union thing at school. If they won, that's why my other friend was stressed, but I was still very confident that they would win.
Okay. There you go. See, that's how you have to be.
He's not jaded like us. He's got that youthful optimism. Well, he's been watching his team pretty much dominate the last couple seasons. I mean, it's a pretty weird thing, right?
Yeah, you and I had the early years of the Union, however many years we worked in the newspaper and television business, you know, to reinforce our jadedness or our burned outness or something. You know, it's funny because David Goss from MLS, he does a Twitter Spaces show every day that they turn into a podcast, right? And he hit me up this morning and he's like, hey, I want to do a deep dive into the early days of the Philadelphia Union. So we talked about Sakevich, we talked about Novak, we talked about Raisa. Yeah. But I'm like, I really should have Dave and Matt here, with me, doing this with me, you know, because I was thinking of the podcast we did like 5 or 6 years ago with the top 25 most Union moments of all time and all the stuff that we talked about in like the early days of this podcast and all the crazy signings and crap goals that they gave up. And I want to fall on my like crutch line and say, I can't believe it. But I can believe it because this team has been that good for the last 4 years. Yeah.
I'm glad Noah missed those kind of lean early years, and he's kind of jumped on. His jadedness now more stems from the fact that he loves watching soccer and he loves watching basketball too, but he's not a big baseball football guy. So like the Eagles, Phillies in a way are kind of overshadowing his true team, which is the Union. He wrote an essay in school, I'm not sure if you saw this, 12 reasons why soccer is better than baseball. He could read it for you now if you think your listeners would want to hear 12
years. I would love to hear that. And apropos, I've got the World Series on another TV right now. I'm keeping an eye on it. I don't really write anything during the game unless I have to, but yes, we are recording this podcast during game 3 of the World Series. So if he has it there, he can even give me his list, the top 12 reasons.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
You want the world to hear your list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay. Number 1, way more action. Number two, all different chants. Number three, goals make everyone go crazy. Number four, World Cup.
Yes.
Number five, every country plays it. Number six, they go crazy when the goalie saves the ball. Number seven, ref, you suck. Number eight, over 1,000 different soccer balls. Number nine, ripping off your shirt. Number 10, baseball isn't a thing in Europe. Number 11, you don't need all these equipment for baseball. For soccer, all you need is a ball and a goal.
Mm-hmm.
12, soccer's the heart of our world.
Soccer's the heart of our world.
That's very eloquent. Yeah, and listen, I spot no lies there. All of those are very valid. Yeah,
I would like to add one more for kids, which I think MLS should kind of market the fact that soccer games are 2 hours and baseball games are 4 hours. If you're a kid or a parent of a kid going to a World Series 4 hour game is
And if you're a Mets fan, they probably feel like they're even longer than that. You know, so had to make sure I got one in on you there. You know, but it's. It's interesting, man. I just wonder what your thoughts are, because I said this on Twitter. You know, I feel like LA versus the Union, it's, first of all, it's a great game because it's the two best teams in the league by far. I mean, how often do two number one seeds meet up in any final in any sport? You know, the NFL last year, the Titans and the Packers both lost the first weekend. You know, and look at what happened in baseball this year with the Phillies and the Padres is 5-6 or whatever, you know. But it's interesting because, you know, LAFC won the Shield on tiebreaker. They had the same amount of points. And I know that they had it wrapped up going into the last game of the year, so LA didn't need to get a result in the last one. However, they did put out their starting 11, and they played a pretty strong team, and they still lost. So I see it kind of as a referendum on the best defensive team, a team that scored more goals and conceded fewer goals versus a team that just won more games, you know? And we can litigate that over and over again. What's more important, winning more games or not losing, right? I mean, that's factored into the points as it is, but I just find it fascinating. Yeah, because like you could make an argument that, you know, both of these teams were great, and I could listen to an argument for LA being better than Philly. I could listen to an argument for Philly being better than LA.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to just watch as a fan. I mean, they were tied on points. They were the two best teams, clearly. But at the same time, doesn't it sort of feel like a David versus Goliath type situation? Like,
it does feel like it does still feel.
LA was supposed to be there. They have the big players, the big salary. The Union still has a pretty low salary, punching above their weight all year. So, I mean, like, what's not to love? It's a true, like, underdog thing right there. I mean,
yeah.
LA's got the big owners. Like Hollywood A-listers, right? It's their owners. We got.
Did you see the tweet that they showed? So I don't know who tweeted it, but somebody did a list of like notable owners for each team, like celebrity owners and stuff. And for LAFC, it was like
Will Ferrell,
Mia Hamm, Nomar Garcia Parra, blah 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 blah. And then for the Union, it just said Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He was the only person listed. He was like the only person that they felt was notable or something. So I felt that was, you know.
No respect for Jay Sugarman, who's been here since day one.
Yeah, poor guy. He had COVID, too. That's why he wasn't at the game the other day.
I didn't hear that, no.
Yeah, did you hear about that? I saw somebody tweeted that out. I think it was Tannenwald said that, Union Box was not there because he had COVID. You know, he could have just flew the helicopter down, just hovered over top of the field, I think.
Hopefully he can fly, take his private jet to...
I don't know if the FAA would clear him for that airspace, but, you know, he would be socially distanced for sure. Yeah, it's interesting, man. Do you buy, you know, it's funny because I feel like the Cincinnati game and the New York game, they're playing at home, they're the number one seed, they're a big favorite. I think they showed a lot in, you know, having the pressure being on their shoulder and playing on their home field and knowing that, like, they have to rise to the occasion. They are expected to win these games. Do you buy the underdog mentality? Like, is it a Philadelphia Eagles dog mask kind of thing? Or are we not going to do that for this game?
I think we should, don't you? I mean, like, what do you think, Noah? Do you think Philly is the underdog going on the road across the country to Los Angeles, or a really good team?
I mean, they're probably tied with being better at soccer, but now going across the country, it might be a little upset if they win, but yeah. I'm still confident for them.
You are? You think they're going to win?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
See, yeah. I like this. I like this just like confidence and pragmatism. You know, I should go to 9-year-olds more often on this podcast, you know?
Yeah, he's raising the level of this podcast.
Yeah, he is raising the level of discourse, and, you know, God knows it was very low at one point when we started doing this thing. You know, we were trying to just come up with anything we could come up with. It'd be funny to go back and listen to some of those early episodes too and just think, like, is this the same franchise that we're talking about?
Yeah. And back then it was like the same thing every year. They would finish with like the same record, right? They would always have the same amount of points.
Yeah, and we were like talking about, yeah. I can't even remember what we were talking about. Is CJ Sapong the guy?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right, exactly.
Man, I don't know. But
I'd like to throw a question out to everyone listening. Where mm-hmm. people are watching the game Saturday? Well, we haven't really decided if we should do a house with some of his friends in his class who are Union fans, if we should try a sports bar. I saw the mm-hmm. Union tweet something out. Maybe that they might have something, a big watch party at Subaru Park or something else. So I'm curious where the party is on Saturday, because we're definitely game to watch with some people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let us know then. Yeah, for sure. If you're listening, let me know where you're thinking of doing it. I thought it'd be cool if they did like a big watch party, you know, at the stadium or something like that, or found a central location where all the fans could do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's a good question. I have no idea where I'm going to watch it either. Yeah. I'm one of those people who kind of, I don't know if this sounds weird or whatever. I like to watch games by myself because I like to pause and rewind and do, you know, clip video and, you know, like tweet over top of it and stuff. I don't know. I can't like sit there with a bunch of other people and kind of like have the same experience. I don't know if that's weird, if that makes me like a recluse or something, but I don't know. Yeah. I was thinking I could tell my dad to come over, cause there's a chance that game 6 of the World Series is going to be played at 8:00, I guess, that night. So you can have Phillies, get out of a Union Phillies doubleheader, you know. I think, I don't know if my dad would make it though. We'd both be asleep probably by like 10:00. But
is your dad like watching pro soccer or no?
He does. You know, I mean, he grew up in like the Norristown area as like a traditional 4-for-4 guy. You know, I mean, we grew up we always had the Flyers and the Sixers on in the TV house. So we had Buddy Ryan's hard-nosed defense on the TV, you know, but he likes watching the Union just as much as anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You wrote a good column on the 4-for-4 thing. And I tried to tweet some points too. It's been interesting these last few days, kind of seeing this. He's been wearing his like Union gear for like mm-hmm. Halloween stuff at the zoo and trick or treating. And he's definitely getting a lot of like, go Unions, that people definitely seem to be knowing what's happening. Probably less people, less casual fans know to like necessarily watch it on TV, but they know that the Union are a team in Philly and they're playing well. So
baby steps, we gotta start somewhere.
We are making some progress, and it's cool for him and his school. There's like him in his grade, there's like a few other kids who like really love the team and they love the sport of soccer, and they kind of have that connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you and a bunch of friends just like trying to spread the Union to the rest of your grade.
Yeah, it's been a little hard. I actually spreaded it to one kid started watching it.
There you go.
Well, we're trying to spread it to as many people as possible.
Yeah. You know? There's a Phillies day. There's a Phillies day at the school Monday, and I think the principal said they might do a Union day so kids could wear their like Union gear possibly Friday. So
listen, man, that's all anybody's asking for. Right? That's what I gotta say. And go ahead, Noah. What do you want to say?
I wore my Union gear. I wore my Union gear on Phillies day.
Oh.
No.
The principal see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, you went rogue there for sure. Well, listen, I mean, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that column. You know, I just keep, you know, we would do, you know, I mean, I don't have to repeat it, but it's you know, all we're asking for is for people not to dump on it if they don't have to. And nobody's saying that you got to like the Union or watch the Union or whatever. Just like, can we just move on from the 1995, you know, soccer is for communists, whatever, you know,
say it's boring too, I mean, there's a 0-0 baseball game through 17 innings, right, in the playoffs, I think. I mean, soccer can be boring at times, I guess.
Pitcher's duel, you know, yeah. Well, so let me ask you, I mean, what do you make of the Eagles being 7-0 and the Phillies being in the World Series at the same time as the Union finally make it to MLS Cup for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird for me because, as you know, I grew up in New York, so I kind of still have those connections to the Mets and to the Giants. So it's been hard to change those loyalties. Like, I love the city of Philadelphia. I've been here 20 years now. And I'm kind of wondering if there are more people like me who are transplants who have those connections to the teams they grew up with. But the Union came at a time when I was in Philly and I didn't have a connection to any other team. So the Union was always like that team. And so, I mean, that's one angle where I think is interesting. But yeah, I mean, and then the other thing is, yeah, I mean, I guess they are overshadowed a bit. But if the Union and Phillies do win at the same time, I mean, that's obviously something that could be pretty incredible for this
city. Yeah, listen, man, they don't, they you know, if the Phillies are winning right now as we're recording this and it's the series is tied 1-1, you know, if the series goes to six, you know, you could have two, depending on the outcome of these next couple games, you could have two Philadelphia teams playing for championships on the same day.
Has that ever,
I'm pretty confident that has never, ever happened. Yeah, I mean, in 1980, the Sixers, the Flyers, the Eagles, the Phillies, all I believe all four of them played for a title in 1980, right? But they weren't happening at the same time, you know? So, I mean, this would be like unprecedented, you know, if it was a nice 1-2 doubleheader. So here's the thing, man. I'm glad that they ended up with their own time window, right? So they're not going to, the Eagles are playing on Thursday night, so they don't have a Sunday night, right? And the Phillies game is going to be later. So at least they get exclusivity in that 4 p.m. or whatever slot that it is. So, I mean, that's, you know, at this point, that's all you can ask for, you know? I mean, they got a banner hanging off of City Hall. People seem to be down with it. I mean, whatever, man. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
I feel bad because I feel like my loyalties have kind of shifted to Noah. I mean, I tell him he could root for all the Philly teams, but he just doesn't seem to have the same thing for the Eagles or the Phillies. And he just doesn't, in general, just doesn't seem to like watching football and baseball as much as soccer and basketball. Love the Sixers. Right?
Yeah.
Sixers are a squad.
Yeah, but likewise, man, kids who are growing up Union fans, like, you know.
Yeah.
If they want to get on the Eagles bandwagon later, that's cool too. I mean, it's not there's room as big of a Philly town, as big of a sports town as Philly is, and New York is. You can handle five teams, right? You can handle six or seven teams if you really want, you know. So you know, I'm not trying to say that the Union have to replace some other team. You know what I mean? I mean, there's enough for everybody, and it's just been cool to see. You know, and you're getting like more recognition, I think, from like the blue check marks on Twitter. And you know, even NBC sent a reporter down there on Sunday night. They got the Chiron wrong. They said they're going to the MLS World Cup. But listen, man, it's a start. I mean, yeah, you got to start somewhere, you know. So
the World Cup's coming too, so we're excited about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so final thoughts. Noah, what do you think is going to happen on Saturday? Who's going to win?
The score, who's going to score the goals,
and
the final score. What do you think?
I mean, the final score would most likely be probably a tie, and it's very possible for it to go to shoot-offs. I'm not really sure if they're good at shooting.
Penalty kicks, yeah.
Shoot-offs, penalty kicks, yeah, close. Yeah, same thing. That's so, a good call. I can see that, yeah.
Who do you think is going to score for the Union?
Ure and Glesnes.
Oh, Glesnes. Nice. Ure and Glesnes. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to be a little 2-2 through extra time, go to PKs? I mean, that'll be fun, PKs.
Okay, he said Ua and Glesnes. I thought he said Ray there. I was thinking Ray Gattis. I'm like, Ray Gattis doesn't play for the Union anymore.
Nah, but,
yeah. Okay, so he's got Mika Ua and Jacob Glesnes scored for the Union. Okay. Right.
Do you think it'll be
Glesnes Rocket?
The Glesnes Rocket, yeah.
Glesnes Rocket. Yeah.
He's going to unleash that rocket.
Yeah, what if he replicated that for the second time at LAFC? Now that would be
right. That was the game right before the world shut down, right?
Yeah, yeah, right before COVID. I was laying in bed and I jumped up out of bed like I was scared S-less, you know.
Yeah.
What do you got, Dave?
Oh man, yeah. my head tells me it's gonna be an LA win, but my heart says Union. I'll say 2-1 Union with the Carranza and Corey Burke.
I'm gonna take the over 2.5. Not that anybody asked. I think it's like a 2-2 game and it goes into extra time and then you know Jesus takes the wheel from there as far as I'm concerned with Carrie Underwood on vocals. Yeah.
The PK shootout for the MLS Cup final would be intense. Do we even know the like who would line up first through fifth on the Union? Have you thought about that?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, Gajdog takes one, you know, the striker who's up there. You know, it'll be one of Karan. I guess Carranza will probably play 90. I would let Kai Wagner take one. I would be fine with Jack Elliott taking one. Jack McGlynn will probably be in the game. I'd be fine with him taking one. You know, it's a bummer that Bedoya is not healthy. I don't know if he's going to play.
Yeah,
it's been the way that's been the case for all the playoffs, and they've been all right without him so far. So, hey, man, fingers crossed. I mean, it's already the greatest year that they've ever had. It's going to be a successful year no matter what. To me, I think they're playing with house money at this point. You know, so that's just like my opinion, man. So,
yeah. Any closing thoughts, Noah? Do you want to say why you like the band Imagine Dragons before we go, or no?
You an Imagine Dragons fan, Noah?
Yeah,
Kevin loves them. He's a big Imagine Dragons guy.
One of my all time favorites. Yeah, right up there with you. Yeah, it's all good.
Close us out with some Imagine Dragons.
Okay. Yeah, I should play us off to break with Imagine Dragons. Yeah, I have to get the licenses from or whatever. But hey, listen, man, this was fun. This was the only way to celebrate the Union going back to MLS Cup. It was a Always Soccer 2016 reunion. With the two original co-hosts here. It was a pleasure, man. I wish I could do it in person, you know, but
I'd love to come by. Thanks for having Noah on. Did you enjoy your first podcast appearance or what?
Yeah, definitely.
You want to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Next time the Union are in the MLS Cup, we'll have Noah come back.
Absolutely. Okay, Noah gets a slot every time the Union go to MLS Cup. Those are the rules from now on, all right?
Sound good?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.